The prolific mystery writer William Heffernan is the author of 19 novels and winner of the Edgar Award. His new novel, The Scientology Murders, centers around protagonist Harry Doyle, a homicide detective in the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, and villains working for the Church of Scientology.
I, of course, was familiar with L. Ron Hubbard, and as a science fiction writer and, you know, as just an absolute charlatan. You know, him coming out and saying that if you want to make a lot of money, start your own religion. And when I moved here to Clearwater, I was just astonished at how much the Church of Scientology owned and had taken over. They virtually, had dominated the town. And so I became curious, and I wanted to see what they had going for themselves. And, of course, Hubbard was dead by then. He had gone off in his spaceship somewhere. And Miscavige had taken over. And, of course, he was entirely different. I mean, where L. Ron Hubbard would go out in his boat and he'd throw people overboard when they displeased them and then pick them up and pull them back on board.
Now, is this documented? You mentioned that in the book, too.
Yeah, he talked about
that. We can't be throwing that kind of stuff out there if we don't have some other kinds of way to.
He acknowledged doing it.
So you were reading news reports?
Yes, reading news reports, reports that people who had left the organization in fear had put out. And I was able to talk to some of them. And it was pretty frightening what was allegedly going on.
This is a murder mystery.
Yes.
And a detective story. And
yes.
Police procedural. I don't know. There's lots of
things. And it's fiction.
And it's fiction. And there's a disclaimer at the beginning of the book that you're very clear. But you detail what happens to the people who make trouble for the church in this book. Your protagonist, Harry Doyle, feels the full weight of the money and the lawyers and the legal problems that the church throws at him in this book. So you're well aware of it. Were you worried about what might happen to you after the book was published? And did anything happen?
I have a friend who's a neighbor, who actually worked for the Church of Scientology as a detective. So I knew what they might do. But no, I wasn't worried. I spent years as an investigative reporter in New York City, and I was shot at. I was, all kinds of things happened to me as a reporter that I wasn't worried about the Church of Scientology putting the arm on me.
Well, I wanted to bring that up. You reported on big city corruption and big city crime.
Yes.
When you were with the New York Daily News.
Yep.
For many years. You won the Robert F. Kennedy Prize.
Yes.
For journalism. Then you left journalism around 1980 when you got your first book contract.
Yes.
Around that time. But you didn't really leave reporting completely behind, as you say. You still have a nose for a story. You still do a lot of research.
Well, writing a book is a lot of research, especially the type of books that I write. It's probably the most fun in the early part of a book until you have to sit down and start writing. So you're doing a lot of reporting, and finding things out and talking to people. And I think, any former reporter who turns to fiction will tell you that it's the same thing. And Michael Connelly was a reporter in Los Angeles for years. And I'm sure he does the same digging he did as a reporter in writing his books.
Michael Connelly is also going to be at the Festival
yes,
of Reading.
Yes, yes.
I just wanted to point that out. You're very specific about the Tampa Bay locations that you write about in this book. For instance, you don't write that Harry went to a seafood restaurant around the corner. You say that he went to Pete and Shorty's Tavern on Gulf to Bay Boulevard in
mm-hmm.
Clearwater. Why do you like to include those kinds of details?
Because I think people identify with that. And I identify with it. I Little Greasy Spoon in Tarpon Springs, where I have breakfast occasionally. I give it a plug.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. And people who pick up the book and go, oh, I had breakfast there, and they like that sort of thing.
Yeah. So a lot of the details from the book come from the real life that you're living.
Oh, sure.
Any of the characters?
Characters, you know, come after, you know, real people I've known to a certain extent. I mean, Harry Doyle, you know, I don't know anybody who was killed by their mother and came is brought back to life, but that's, you know, an idea that came to me. You know, and the idea of the dead detective who then, you know, seems to get these messages from dead people, I thought it would be a neat little trick to use.
So you did read a story about two little boys. What were they in Florida? Who their mother tried,
yes.
And their mother tried to kill them, drugged yep. them, left them in the garage with the car running, and then went to church.
Yep.
10 years old and 6 years old. The 6 year old died. Mm-hmm. But the 10 year old survived, was resuscitated, and that's where you got your idea for
yes.
Harry Doyle. What's that little 10 year old boy going to be like when he grows up?
Mm-hmm.
What if he becomes
a detective?
What if he
became a detective?
Mm-hmm. And here we have Harry Doyle.
I mean, that's where the ideas come from. I mean, you see a story and you just start ruminating about what would happen if. And, because, you know, it's all because you have a strange mind, and that's the way that it works.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of forward momentum in this book. In other words, it's a page-turner.
Yes.
How do you work out the plot? Do you work that out before you start working, or is that something that comes to you as the character develops? Some writers say that the character determines the plot as
the characters take over the book. They always do. If they don't, you're in trouble. Of course, you have an idea. The book is going to go this way. But once the characters take over, it goes wherever they take it. And, I mean, it sounds strange, but that's the way it happens.
Well, it's a very detailed plot, and it seems like you would have to have at least an outline before
mm-hmm.
you got going.
Never have an outline.
So you just have an idea.
Yep.
Of... there's a murder. It's related to the Church of Scientology. It's investigated by Harry Doyle,
mm-hmm.
who is the dead speaks to him.
Yep. And it goes from there.
And it goes from there.
And once Harry takes over the story, he takes over the story.
I wanted to have you read this one passage, if you don't mind, because I thought this kind of it sums up a lot of the book.
Harry slept fitfully and awoke a half an hour before dawn. It was cloudy and overcast, killing any chance of the beautiful sunrise he had been looking forward to, something that might drive away or at least obscure the insanity that had taken place in court the previous day. This woman, his birth mother, had killed both of her children. He had been brought back to life after his heart had stopped beating. His six-year-old brother, Jimmy, had not been so lucky. He was now 6 feet underground, decayed in his small coffin. And his mother, the woman who had killed them both, was playing the victim with the help of a well-heeled lawyer and a corrupt executive for a church that Harry felt was little more than a money-making scam created by a demented science fiction writer who supposedly once told an interviewer that if someone wanted to become rich, they just had to start with their own religion.
It's a crazy world.
Yes.
And I guess in your reporting, did you sometimes find that life was stranger than fiction?
You know, things that I make up. Look at this mass murder in this church in Texas. I mean, you know, if I brought that into my in a book to my wonderful agent of the past 36 years, she would look at me and say, "Come on, Bill, that's too much. That's too much." But it isn't. It happens.
But if you read it in a novel, you'd think it was over the top. Yeah,
it was over the top.
Yeah.
But it's not over the top. You know, it's happening day after day after day. The shooting in Las Vegas, over the top, but not. Because we're living in a crazy, crazy world. And it gets crazier. I can't write it as crazy as it is.
People wouldn't believe it.
No. They wouldn't want to believe it.
You like this character, Harry Doyle.
I do.
Will there be more Harry Doyle novels?
You know, I don't know.
This is the second.
Yes. The problem is the killer in this book. You have to lock yourself in a room with that character for a year. I don't know if I can lock myself in the room with another character like that for a year. It's hard.
He was very creepy.
Yes. And you have to live with him. And he takes over the book, too.
Yeah.
He takes over a portion of your life as well when you're writing about him. And it's not pleasant, but it's, you know, he's part of the book.
There's such a thing called chick lit, kind of books that women especially enjoy. Do you think there's a guy lit?
A guy lit?
Literature for men. Kind of a masculine way of writing or that men relate to.
Oh, I'm sure there is, yes. I hope I'm not doing that. I mean, I want to be...
Universal.
Yeah, more open to more people than just... You know, Mickey Splaine was a good friend of mine.
Really?
You know, I loved him. He was just a great, great man, great fun person. And one time I had the opportunity, we went on a book tour together. We had books coming out at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Mickey was such a hot piece of work. He always answered things honestly. You know, we had one woman, we had this sweet old lady in this group that we were talking to. And she says, well, how long does it take you to write a book? And he went, well, lady, it depends on how much I need the money. And Mickey had three ex-wives and lots of alimony to pay. And he was just, you know.
Is there a lot of truth in that, that it depends on how bad you need the money?
Yep, it does.
Does it usually take you somewhere around a year to write a novel?
A year to a year and a half, depending on the amount of research that has to go into it. Mm-hmm. This book took a little longer because there was a lot of research and it was hard to do because it was hard to get the information.
Do you work with a legal team, the publisher's legal team,
no,
or a lawyer just to make sure that...
No, they look at it. You know, all those years as a newspaper reporter... You know, I know what I can say and what I can't say, and it's not hard.
It's not hard for you.
No. I mean, it's not hard to be, you know, it's fiction. I mean, Dan Brown, you know, took on Opus Dei. I did, too, in a book. You take on the Catholic Church, you can take on anybody.
It's fiction.
It's fiction. And if you say it's fiction, then... They've got to have a sense of humor.
Okay. William Heffernan, author of The Scientology Murders, which is a dead detective novel. It's been really nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you, too.